Welcome once again for another hour's worth of bullshit. But no, it's our third annual Video On Demand Awards special. Finding the best, the worst, the stupidest, the cheesiest, and other outrageous awards that no one else is bright enough to award to anyone of any sort. Here on the show, he's JK. No, really, those are his initials. Jeremy Colina is here with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Of the Deuce. And then, her one-hit wonder song swept an entire nation. It's Cinema Beef's Iris Dora Saravia. How are you?
Hello, hello.
Hello. From this area of the galley, Ken Bates is here.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hi.
Fellow movie riffer Thomas Lindemann has entered the building.
Hello, and I probably have to punch Will Smith anytime soon.
Oh.
Chris Rock, though, on the other hand, I still owe him for a couple of bad movies.
Oh, shit. Well, so the first award I'd like Tom to give out is that You're Not From Around Here, Are You award for the most bizarre accent in a movie or show.
For this one, there is only one person. We should just retire this one forever and just name it the Tommy Wiseau.
Because there you go.
No matter what accent you can throw at them, they will always pale in comparison to the man who gave us, "Oh, hi, Mark."
I still think he's D.B. Cooper. Wonderful choice. Wonderful pick, sir.
Hello, I'm going to rob this airplane now.
Oh, hi, Mark. I don't know how that money got there, but it's not
enough. Just sex life.
Lisa, I'm home. So, Ken, I'm going to give you... Yes. You don't have my vote award for most bizarre speech in a movie.
Oh, most bizarre speech in a movie. Oh, I've got one right here in the chamber. Does anyone remember a piece of garbage that Steven Seagal wrote, produced, and starred in called Undeadly Ground?
Of course.
And the last, I think the last 45 straight minutes of the movie was him giving a, not that he was, you know, his heart was in the right place, but he's just going on and on and on about his,
I got to defend the environment. Activism. Yes. So in order to solve it, I should blow up the
environment. Up. Yes.
Fun fact, the cinematographer on that was the same cinematographer on Cobra. And much like that, to suit the ego-headed star, he ended up directing so many shots and telling them, stop wasting time.
I just remember, you know, my father and I went to see that in the theater. We were just looking at each other like, what are we watching?
This smells like a direct-to-video franchise. Is it Leprechaun? Is it Ernest? Or is it Beethoven? And the winner is Ernest. Love you, Jim Varney. Why the hell did you do all those movies?
The paycheck. I think the paycheck is definitely the answer on that one.
Yes, most definitely.
Most definitely. So, Iris, you got a pretty easy award. You got the Who Killed Who award for most confusing death scene.
All right. Wow.
Well, it's a mystery that just made you just wonder, wait, what? No.
It would have to be the wraparound story for the very first VHS.
Oh.
Because you're left going like, but wait, what? But the wraparound, but, and then... And of course, very close runner-up is the latest VHS. I think it's number 4, where there's people running around like a warehouse, and they're trying to find this cult, and you're going, what the hell is happening?
I Know What You Did Last Summer had some competition.
Yes, it did.
No, for real.
Yes, it did.
Oh, so, Jeremy... I know you love risque humor, so you have the Pump It Real Good ? Award for most unconvincing sex scene.
The most unconvincing?
Yes. Where you're just like, mm-hmm. The guy's clearly wearing a sock, or the gal is just overreacting way too hard. The physics don't exist in movies, do they?
Yeah, it's really... That's a tough one. That's a hard one. you know, I, uh, I think for the longest time, I will give it like an 8 million way tie to every Cinemax movie that was ever made.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God, yes. Thank you very much.
There was this one when I was younger that when we all thought we were being cool and sneaky and trying to watch. Yeah. There was one.
Saw full-blown hairy ass. Oh my God.
I will never forget. It was, they always show the side shot of the building that they're located in.
Oh,
and it's clearly the outside of like an Applebee's or a Chili's that they just like pulled into the parking lot, filmed the side of it, and like drove away. But forever, that's where the movie shows.
That is kind of cool.
Like, so it would just be one of those, like, you know, where nobody actually is doing anything where, you know, their genitals are even close to one another. It's just them like weirdly like massaging each other's arms and chest.
Right.
And then going back to the Chili's afterwards to talk about it.
You don't know if the actors are telling each other dirty jokes in their ears or if they're legit trying to get in the mode or their boyfriend and girlfriend. You don't know. And you're just like,
yeah,
this is just bad. It's hysterical.
I had a friend who thought that it used to be, he really legit thought that it was that they were actually doing it. It's just that they were like cutting away so you couldn't see whatever. And I'm just like, we need to have a talk about where they
yeah.
Because where her hoo-ha is definitely nowhere near his, you know, cha-cha.
Right.
Can I have an honorable mention on here, though?
Please. This is a sarcastic award show.
So okay.
You have freedom.
Any Rudy Ray Moore love scene.
Oh, yes. Anyone who's seen Dolomite Is My Name.
Right? Or the actual movies.
But yeah, it is always funny, yes, when you... Even some people would even legit find Full Moon or even Roger Corman movies legit convincing. You're like, I mean, they're clearly in on the joke. And if you can't even someone who doesn't take films all that seriously, then
Rudy Ray Moore, there he is, buddy.
They are also, all his.
And also, One Night in Paris.
Oh! Nicely done.
Okay, so I got some other awards. The worst filmmaker of the century. Is it Uli Ball? Is it Rene Perez? Or is it Lloyd Kaufman of Troma fame? The winner is, wait for it, Rene Perez. I saw that the guy at a convention. He so does not understand. He's a more alien than Tommy Wiseau. Basically, he does all these no-budget movies. He gives them for sites to review, but he doesn't actually care if they give him a good review he can put on the cover. And they starred Robert Bronzy, who's made a career imitating and doing impressions of Charles Bronson. He's fortunately ditched the guy and done his own thing. He has one like assault on like Cell Block 90 or something, making fun of John Carpenter and Death Wish type movies. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever, you're doing you at least. But this Rene guy, like, everything just often stars Michael Perry of Streets of Fire fame, looks
good.
Like Michael Perry also of The Greatest American Hero fame.
Oh. There you go, there's a callback. Yeah, I know, Rene, sorry man, you got to stop doing all these movies about the alt-right and Corona and all this other bullshit. It's not entertaining. It's just shit. I'm going to do another award, and I'll let you guys pick the choices. The Data on Star Trek Award for a Best Cyborg Portrayal. Is it bored-looking Kurt Russell in Soldier? Is it confused-looking Mario Van Peebles in the other movie named Solo? Is it Olivier Gruner in Nemesis? Is it the similar pale-looking Tom Hiddleston on Loki? Or is it Don the Dragon Wilson in every cheesy cyborg movie you ever made? What's the winner, guys?
I gotta go with Don.
That was my pick.
He may be a great karate fighter, but I don't know what Roger Corman ever saw in him. He is a black hole of charisma.
Right. He has the shit eating grin, and that's it. And yeah, he's like,
that's it.
range? I'll get back to you on that None. One.
The quote definitely has the range of a Daisy air rifle.
Tom, who is the best mass villain of all time?
I'm going to have to go with Cillian Murphy from Batman Begins playing Scarecrow.
There you go. Perfect. So I'm going to hand you, Jeremy, the Alternative Facts Award for most facepalm-worthy recent political speech in a TV special.
That's a long cat. Wait, okay, go back through this. That's too long, and my brain isn't letting it happen. Okay. You need to give me piece by piece.
Okay, so just the Alt-Fact Award for most unconvincing political speech, fictional or docudrama movie.
In a movie?
Or a documentary or a TV show. Just
any
work of fiction. So this is like one where you're just like, this was written by Ben Shapiro or some other dickhead, wasn't it?
I haven't watched. Does it count like
it can be jingoistic
and little guy's 3-hour epic movie that he put together? The My Pillow Guy.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely.
So I was working from home when that came out, and everybody was like, I was like, oh God, I don't want to sit through it and do whatever. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is the perfect time. While I'm working, you can just listen to it. And it was just utter nonsense. Like, it was like 3 hours of just.
Yeah,
bizarre.
I know everyone likes making fun of that, but I don't even want to give it views. I'm like, I could shit the bed laughing at it so hard, but I'm like, no, this dude doesn't. He doesn't even deserve a 2 out of 10 star rating because there isn't a negative 100 star rating.
well, if ever there was a party for shooting stars, that was the one.
That's the one. I'm going to award the Denzel Washington Award for the most ageless badass actor. Ooh. And winner is Denzel. Duh.
can we give that to the actress? Give it to Barbara Crampton. Does that woman age?
No. Yeah, I'm convinced she really is reanimated.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Okay, so that is amazing, Iris. You got to have this. You got to have this.
All right.
The Zero Woman Award for Best Japanese Film of the Century. That's kind of a joke in and of itself. Zero Moon was a bunch of violent Japanese Nikita type knockoff movies.
Yeah. I'm going to have to think of the Pinkies.
Oh, jeez. Getting that off color. It can just be just like a good Takashi Mike movie or something. Right?
Hold on. Let me see. Japanese. We did one and it was really good.
Not so bad, it's good. Just
no. Actually, I love any of the Pinky movies, I would have to say, where the women are the main characters. They're basically exploitation films from the 70s, right? But they were all
I made them 2 decades later. We had nothing else to make except trash. I love trash.
Right. So I would have to say Female Prisoner. Those were good. Or we can also go with Lady Vengeance.
Okay. Perfect. It's South Korean, but that I guess that works.
Well, yeah, I know, right? It was South Korean, but, you know, Lady Vengeance, I mean, damn, that's a great movie. I love that.
Old boy disagrees. He wants to be number one. Okay.
Can I throw in Visitor Q for an honorable mention?
Ooh, Visitor Q. There you go. Yeah, it's very good.
Oh, man.
We had, back in the day, we had a friend who, he was like, have you ever seen this? And we were like, no. Should we? And yeah, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And so like, he handed it to us like it was contraband, like it was like a scene from 8mm where like you're handing off something that's, you know, taboo. And so like, he gives us this, and I'm like, okay. And so I got Court from Cinema Psyops to watch it with me. We were just like, what the hell is happening?
Oh my God. I mean, you know, like the breast milk shower. Jesus. Yeah.
That's when you're known for something, as if long you got as it's it, not
torture
it.
Porn, I'll watch it. But it's got to be something outrageous that you just can't turn down. Like it's a Sharknado equivalent, like Yakuza weapon, where someone has a machine gun and chainsaws their hand or something, where you're just like, Evil Dead lives, you know? This is like,
exactly.
In other cultures. Oh, man.
Oh, here's another one about red cuffs, red handcuffs. That is a great one.
So brutal. So brutal.
It is. I love that one. But there you go.
There you go. So it's a tie between, if I have it right, Lady Vengeance and Red Cuffs. I'm going to let you give the Leroy Jenkins Award for most fucked up decision in a recent movie.
The most fucked up decision in a recent movie. Okay. This is a tough one. But I would have to say, it's not going to be a character. I'm going to say, who looked at the script for Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull and said, yep, guys, we got it. We got to make this movie.
That'd be Jeff Nathanson of Rush Hour and Speed 2 fame.
Oh, my God. Were you asleep at the wheel? Steven, did you read the script?
Pretty much. Steven is amazing how he can do that movie and be immortal, and then George Lucas does a bad movie and it just everyone makes him an internet punching bag. But with that one is like, I'm anything for you, George. I'm like, no. George isn't in the directing chair. You do what you need to do.
Yes. Nobody said this is a bad idea.
I mean, was it? I mean, it was pretty funny. I don't think they intended it that way though.
No.
The Dietland Award for most gratuitous weight loss. Is it Bobby De Niro in Raging Bull? Is it Christian Bale in The Machinist? Or is it Russell Crowe in every other movie? And anyone who actually listens to this show, of course, the final one I'm going to throw in the pit is the winner. Fucking Russell Crowe.
Yeah, Russell Crowe, man.
Insert South Park joke.
I am fighting around the world. The I still do not like. You see people who fluctuate weight wise for so many things, but like the Machinist, I just remember
that was wicked.
That one still like freaks me out. That I'm like, oh my God, are you okay? Like that one feels like he damaged something. Like something's.
Yep.
I'm just waiting to hear like, oh, you have long term damage from whatever it was you just did.
I wish someone had done a mashup where angry Christian Bale on Terminator was talking to Christian Bale in that movie. Oh, good for you. And how was it? Are you amateur? Are you? What are you doing?
My God, I forgot all about that.
I'm glad to remind.
I'm going to have him fight Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, forget God.
It. Do it live. Fuck it.
Do it live. Oh, Jesus. Oh. Man, so Iris, you are going to get the Megan Good Award for the sweetest voice in a recent movie.
Oh, sweetest voice. Damn.
Someone who's like, was made to basically seduce everyone with their voice. And you're like, why are they not a narrator?
Seriously. Well, the actress, Morena Baccarin. Oh my God. I could listen to her. Forever. She's a Brazilian actress and she was in Firefly, Deadpool. She's in all the Deadpools and Endgame right now.
How dare you forget Homeland and Stargate, my good friend.
Oh, yes. And Homeland and Stargate. Yes. So, Morena, I could listen to her. I could listen to her forever.
I am going to give the Small Screen Melodrama Award for Best Soap Opera Star. And the winner is Judith Light.
Oh, yes.
She is the boss.
Definitely.
Oh.
Brand new left. Brand new left. Around the way.
She'll always be my judge on Law and Order. I'm going to give you, Tom, the Rico Suave Award for most hip on-screen persona.
Oh. This one's also going to be a bit of a curveball, but I'm going to give it to DJ Qualls from The New Guy.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
that, in of itself. Plus, it has the co-stars, Eddie Griffin.
There you go.
The two of them together, perfect. You can't do much better than that.
Back when every movie was still going by Porky's and Police Academy logic.
Oh.
Okay, so Jeremy, you had the Detective Munch Award for most hysterically cynical detective.
It's a tough one. I like a lot of detective stuff. can it be from anything or from
anything? Okay. As long as it's not the narration at the director's cut of Blade Runner.
Okay. Well, never mind then. You know what? Like, I'm gonna give props to my boy Paul Guilfoyle from CSI.
Oh yeah.
That guy, he knows how to rock a character who is like super prickly exterior, but like when it comes down to it, he's got that little nugget of sweetness in the middle. But like mostly he's just like mouthing off to everybody and like, you know, just begging you to do the wrong thing so he can baton you in the knee.
Yes.
Yeah. Paul Guilfoyle, like he is a classic, like Jersey tough guy type of character. And
Have been in the Dragnet reboot.
Should have been. He'd have been perfect.
Oh, yeah. And I saw him recently on A Million Little Things, and I was like, he barely had anything to do, and yet he did so much in that scene, despite doing not much as the granddad. I'm like, yeah, this dude still needs more work, even though he has no business working. He's worked so long.
Yeah, he was in the CSI like relaunch, the CSI Vegas. But he had a really limited role.
That's why I didn't like it.
And they changed some like obviously time has progressed, and so like a little stuff different happens with his character.
The blind thing should have been the whole mystery instead of
I was bummed we didn't see him as much, but like like I was still glad he was there. Like as soon as he talked, I was like, yeah, Jim.
Yeah.
He's got brass ones.
And then you see him in Session 9 with Caruso, and you're like, so this was the CSI recruitment center.
Definitely is what Session 9 was.
Don't go in the house. I'm going in the house.
We watched that was our ninth movie, or that was our number 9 movie on our
yes.
We did a 24-hour movie marathon, like with the countdown from 12 to 1.
Nice.
And that was 9.
I'm going to give you the 50 Degrees Award for most overcasted film. Kevin Bacon might even be in this cast.
I haven't seen it yet, but we're gonna go with that. The last Marvel film, I think everyone on the planet is in that. Two guys from Game of Thrones.
Endgame.
Angelina is it? It's not Endgame. It's
Eternals.
Eternals. That's right. I always want to say Immortals. I'm turning on my father right here.
What's that
Immortals movie?
Up and says, "I'm the Highlander. I'm now part of the Marvel canon."
To be clear,
really surprised me.
Go ahead.
What really surprised me was Michael Caine being in it.
Really? I mean,
Michael Caine
is he not been, in?
Exactly.
It's like Michael Caine, and I know that Kevin Bacon had 3 roles all to himself.
Funny how that works.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to have the Best Lifetime Film Star Hall of Fame. And the winner is Alexandra Paul. You go, girl. Mm-hmm. Second year in a row, I'm giving you that damn award. All right, Tom, you are an expert at this. I'm going to give you an award to give out for the best related and name only sequel.
This is actually going to play into one of the other awards I was going to give, but basically the remake of Superfly from, I think it was 2018.
There you go.
I caught that. I'm a big fan of the original. I am even a bigger fan of this one, of the remake. It took the source material and just ran with it and made it more gritty and more relatable.
I think I even saw Joel Silver in the credits.
plus anytime you can throw in Superfly by the late great Chris Mayfield, you got it.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, so Ken.
All right.
Let's give you the Eric Andre Award for most self-professed clown.
Oh, the most self-professed clown. You know, as much as it pains me, I'm going to have to give it to Jim Carrey. Just stop talking, buddy. Just stop.
Great talent, but man, does he keep getting everyone's business.
Just stop. I love you. I will always love you. I was down with you since the Deadpool. Just stop talking.
Oh, yeah. The Dirty Harry movie. I was about to say.
Yes. Yep.
I wish he had played Deadpool. Oh, God.
So.
Oh, man.
Just stop talking, Jim.
I guess another award that Ken would excel at is the We Are the Men in Black Award for the best after credits rap song of all time.
Oh, hands down, it's got to be the Monster Squad.
Yeah!
The Monster Squad!
Yes. Great GalaxyCon interview they did recently with Stephen Mock and company.
Nice. Well, you guys will appreciate this. I remember a friend of mine getting our boombox and queuing up the end of Wild Things just so we could get the football song on tape. Like, All right, you hit play and I'll hit record. All right, let's go.
Nice.
Sounded all fuzzy and horrible, but we were able to play it on the boombox.
It's totally what many people would do with MP3 players and what have you. Yeah. It's so hysterical how half the time parents would be so mad when they found out there were rude lyrics in half the rock and rap songs. I'm like, well, yeah, unless you buy the cleaned up version, which, let's be honest, most retailers are not going to sell. It's an iTunes thing. Gonna hear the whole deal. Yeah. So I am gonna let Tom pick what's the most awesome direct-to-video sequel to an awful theatrical movie.
That is a good question.
Like, the theatrical wasn't all that, but the direct-to-video one was just decent independent movie, and they just added the blurb on just to sell it.
I'm hoping it's right, but I'm gonna have to go with Death Race 3000.
Oh, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, it is everything you love about Death Race 2000 with David Carradine, only jammed up to it goes beyond 11. And you can tell the archetypes and all that. They had the Airhead reporter who kept calling everybody a close personal friend of mine, just like the original. But oh, it is so good. I would not recommend it if you are lactose intolerant, because there's a lot of cheese here.
I mean, I'm all for diabetes, man. I mean, I'm gonna eat a bunch of sugar. I'm gonna do a bunch of milk. Oh man.
And what's best, it has Malcolm McDowell in it as president.
Oh, any great direct-to-video sequel has Malcolm McDowell.
Yep. If it's not an erotic thriller with C. Thomas Howell, if it's not Cyborg Free the Recycler, it's got to be this. I know, too much bullshit. Oh, man.
There is no such thing.
Oh, man. So I'm going to do the Tony Almeida Award, 24 reference, for Best Anti-Hero. Technically, there aren't any good anti-heroes, so you shouldn't be breaking the law, but I think I'll go with... I could probably go with Sven Gulli, making us watch all these movies we have no business watching, but we love him for it.
Or we could go with the Man of the Arrow. What, the Man of the Arrow? The Man of the Hour right now, Jack Sparrow.
Oh, well. Oh. Too soon.
Not soon enough.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, true. It's been done a long time ago.
We should have talked about it earlier, but we really shit the bed on that one.
The biggest sack of shit who we just see their real life in every movie. Yeah, it'd probably be Johnny Depp be up there. Oh, God. Well, speaking of drugs and assholeness, so Jeremy, who should some other idiot win the Tony Montana Award for Best Coke Snorting?
I'm going to give it to, I think we'd give it to Dennis Hopper in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
That's definitely what
that dude is very coked up during that whole movie. We used to call that movie, we would call it Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, Leatherface versus Coke Nose. And that was just, he was messed up during that whole thing. We were like, what's he doing?
It was
like when Leatherface is backing away from you a little bit, like.
Totally. I often participate in some of the Who Would Win podcasts, various tweets, give them recommendations. Mm-hmm. and they had Leatherface versus someone else in a fight. And they kept doing the whole, hey, but remember, this dude did fight Dennis Hopper. There's no easy feat.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's one of his talking Dennis Hopper. Yeah. It's a fun show. Totally shout out. They come up with 3 points, and half the time it's them pulling stuff out of their ass or being sarcastic. You, sir, have quoted a YouTube video, not actual canon. Oh, God. So, so Iris, you get the I Want My Mummy Award for Wimpiest Monster.
Ooh, Wimpiest Monster?
Get it? It's play on.
Oh, gosh. Okay,
I want my mummy.
I want my mummy. Let's see. The crab monster in Attack of the Crab Monsters. The Corman movie.
That wrote itself.
But then, you know, you have the Jell-O monster in, what was it? Was it?
The Ice Cream Bunny. I don't know.
No, it was this planet. The Red Planet. Red Planet, they have this monster that is basically a jello mold, and it sucks up one of the characters, but it's jello, and you can tell that it's jello.
What would you do if you needed a Forbidden Planet knockoff, man? You gotta do what you gotta do if it's not the Tingler or whatever. So I'm gonna give the Miley Cyrus Award for most unconvincing dancing.
Oh,
is it Everyone in the Apple?
How dare you?
Hey, I say that with love, but it is a Canon Films production. Is it Chris Penn in Footloose?
Ooh.
Is it Elizabeth Berkley in Showgirls?
Yeah.
Is it Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man 3?
There you go.
And it is a tie between Liz Berkley and Tobey Maguire.
Very, very what true.
What the fuck, Sony?
Yeah, that whole scene was just like, oh no. Oh no.
It was almost a William Shatner moment. Oh, no. Oh, shit.
Yeah, When I saw it in theaters, because I'm a big
So
when I saw it in theaters...
You mean you did?
And I just went, what the hell is happening? And this was like at the point where, you know, it was like we were so used to having like characters that we like just destroyed on screen. Like my buddy is the biggest like Bane fan. And we went and saw, was it Batman and Robin? And Bane is like, Bane, like just like talking like in I'm fragments.
Frankenstein's monster.
And I just saw my buddy turn and look at me like, how dare you take me to this? And I was just like, I'm so sorry. Like dude, I don't know why they did that. I didn't make the movie. And then this happened.
We saw
and I went, oh no. And he goes, Jeremy, why is symbiote Spider-Man like dancing this jig? I'm like, I don't know.
Oh man. I gotta give out the Dennis Haysbert Award for most convincing insurance salesman character. And the winner is that salesman on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Nice.
Well, you just opened up the abyss of Roger Corman's career. So, Tom, what should you award the Deathstalker Award for the best Conan the Barbarian-inspired sword and sorcery epic series? Should it be Ator, Wizards of the Magic Kingdom, or the Scorpion King?
I'm going to go way off the beaten path on this one. I'm going to go to a little ditty. It's off the ballot.
Write in vote, man.
Boom. I'm making gravy without the lumps, baby.
I can make potatoes without mashed potatoes. Everything's organic anyway.
It's not necessarily Barbarian, but it is sort of in the same vein. I have to go with Hawk the Slayer.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Still waiting on that sequel.
Well, in the meantime, there's always Samurai Cop 2.
Ooh. I mean, he does have a samurai sword. I mean, he does use it. And has our buddy Joe Estevez as the captain. I mean,
and Tommy Wiseau.
And Tommy Wiseau as an alien. Yeah. No argument. No argument at all. Ken, I'm going to give you the James Spader Award for Best Method Acting. Is it Vincent D'Onofrio? Is it Denzel Washington? Or is it Daniel Day-Lewis?
Of those, probably Daniel Day-Lewis is the obvious perfect choice. Because he, you know...
I'm a milkman.
I'd love him to... what if you could get him to like play an inanimate object, like park bench? When you like go like let people sit on him in New York, the streets of New York for like New York parks for like a couple like months or so.
1,000%. So Tom, I'm gonna give you the Don't Quit Your Day Job Award for the worst robbery crew. Is it the heist prep crew in Start Raving Mad? Is it the athletic magician in Ocean's 11? Is it the idiots in How to Rob a Bank? Or is it every other police academy villain?
Oh, the police academy.
That was my winner.
In my wheelhouse. You're talking my language, but I'm going to go again off ballot.
Oh,
my goodness.
Because although they're not cinematic thieves, I believe they stole time away from me watching their ripoff of a Roger Corman film. A little film called Death Racers.
Oh, that Robert Rodriguez movie, right?
Nope.
Oh,
what is not even Racers? Death Racers, starring the Insane Clown Posse.
Oh my god.
If for WWE fans, you'll recognize Scott Levy, also known as Raven.
Man.
And believe me, they stole time from me that I can't get back now.
That's fucking amazing. Oh, God. So, Ken, I'm going to give you the Blade Runner Award for Best Future Sci-Fi Cop.
Okay.
Is it Sylvester Stallone in Demolition Man? Is it Rutger Hauer in Split Second? Or is it Carl Urban in Dread?
I mean, this is just a personal thing, but, you know, Rutger.
Cool. Nice. Well, I just picked as many cyberpunk movies as I could find. So.
Well, you know, I'm just so envious that he got to see Kim Cattrall nude. So therefore,
we're going that way. Yeah. Okay.
So it doesn't. I don't. You know, anything he did in the movie is secondary to that.
Oh, that's great.
You just made Crow T Robot very jealous.
Oh yes.
Crow wants to decide who lives and who dies, and it sucks when Rutger's doing it for him. Iris, you are getting the I'm Droopy Award for most unnecessary first-person introduction.
I'm Droopy.
The most goes to unnecessary
introduction.
Introduction.
Besides the Blade Runner director's cut. I know.
Oh, okay.
You don't want to do this.
Mm-mm-mm. I would have to say. Okay, hold on. I have to look it up because it's a movie with Lily Tomlin.
Oh, God.
And
Travolta one.
Bette Midler. Big Business. Boom.
It's a Big Business, a Shakespeare adaptation.
It is. But I think it's hilarious when they are at the very beginning of the movie, when it's being introduced and they're at that, they're kind of like a little party, and Bette Midler is, you know, just doing the hee-haw, right on, let's do this country stuff. Yeah, Big Business.
Did I see this?
It's a great, funny movie, man. I watched this in the movie theater back in 1988.
It's all right. I hate being a millennial. And the winner for Best Hamlet goes to Arnold Schwarzenegger in Last Action Hero.
I forgot about that scene. That's what my brain just like broke for a second. Like, like when you see cartoons where it's like,
I lied. I'll do one more. The Saving Ryan's Privates Award for Worst Run Platoon Garrison.
Are we okay? Are you still with me?
We're here.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I watch too much TV, so I had to think. It's just like, who are people who are just really terrible, and yet you want to root for them anyway? Okay, so is it the Vietnam soldiers in Forrest Gump? Is it any red shirt on Star Trek 4? Is it the Colonial Marines and Aliens who pretty much don't even make it past the first chapter? Or is it the actors in Tropic Thunder? And the winner is the dudes playing the dudes disguised as other dudes in Tropic Thunder. Oh, man, that was fun. Okay, so Tom, one more for you, homie. The Marlon Alrighty. Brando Award for Most Overdone Method Acting. Is it Johnny Depp? Is it Jennifer Lawrence? Or is it Tom Cruise?
You know what? Again, off.
I didn't even make it through. I didn't find the best.
Tom slips at your balance as shit.
I deny your reality, insert my own.
I reject your reality. The cake is a lie.
I don't remember the guy's name, but the lead actor from Sorry to Bother You.
Ooh. Throwback. Looking it up.
Sorry to bother you. Yeah, I also was going to give it what I call the Christopher Nolan Award for the best two-thirds of a movie ever. Oh!
Oh, you're going with Lakeith Stanfield. Nice. That's a fun satire film.
It's a fun satire film, and he does a great job, and he really gets into the light persona, but then third act, everything, it's like, okay, we have, it's like they went with the Manos name. It's throw everything at it and see if anything comes out of it.
I mean,
it's
got Armie Hammer and Forrest Whitaker, but at least they weren't doing the method acting here, so that was good.
Yeah, he's great. I don't know if you guys watch Atlanta.
I saw the first season. I was mainly distracted by Troy from Community.
Hey, don't even talk about Lando like that.
It's all good. He'll get his own show soon.
And I will be watching it like the Star Wars mark I am. So
nice. In Fugitive Kid.
Yes.
The Don Rickles Award for Most Underrated Smartass Comedian. Is it Ula Borg? Is it Andy Richter? Is it Mary Lynn Rajkob? Is it Katherine Hahn? Or is it Detective Munch himself, Richard Belzer?
Oh, my. That's a... That's any one of those are.
Or is it Don Rickles?
Well, I'm gonna have to go with Katherine Hahn because I'm so happy to see her break out. I've been a fan of hers for a long time.
Crossing
so.
Jordan, my man.
I think I first saw her when she did the art. She'd show up in Parks and Rec sometimes.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Oh God. If it wasn't her, then it was Megan Mullally.
Yeah, she's great too.
Oh man, that's awesome, gentlemen.
Yes, he must mean us.
Yes,
the talking.
That's a new one.
I will let you guys hand out just any more trophies that someone's got to collect.
Well, I would like to give. I'm going to kiss your ass here, Cameron. I'm going to give you an award for best podcast host.
Oh Jesus. Oh, no.
We like you. We really like you.
I'm going to reject this award and give it to Court of Cinema Psyops.
Dude, you got the job.
I got a job. I never thought I'd be good at anything else. Thank you. Get off the stage, asshole.
No, if I had a nickel player every time somebody told me that, I'd have a shitload of nickels.
I'd have a shit ton of nickels. You'd be shitting pennies at that point. Oh, Oh, Tom, I know you can answer this one. Who should win the award for I Hope You Got Room for My Fists for most underrated one-liner? Running Man reference for those.
No.
No, it does have to be, it can be any genre, or can it be?
Just pick any freaking one-liner where you're like, oh, that, yeah, that guy can do five other bad movies. It doesn't matter. He gets, you know, a 10 out of 10 for that one amazing line he wrote.
Oh, this is the, this for me is, I mean, the film itself, Better Off Dead, is in my top five of all time because it's so incredibly well written.
Oh, yeah.
But there are so many great lines done by, I wish I could remember the last name, Curtis Armstrong. That's what it was. The ones that come to mind were, I've been going to this high school for 6 years.
I'm no dummy.
Do you know the street value of this mountain?
I'm surprised those kids don't do more conventions. Everyone would probably sell out if they just showed up for that movie. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So that brings me to my next award, the Charlton Heston Award for Biggest NRA Character Stereotype.
Oh,
I'm going to let you guys weigh in. Who should I give this to besides Charlton Heston?
Well, there's Dirty Harry.
Yes. Okay, there you go. Cry macho for Clint Eastwood. Should have hung it up years ago instead of making a boring-ass cowboy who hangs out with Latinos who he doesn't respect. Perfect.
What about Burt Gummer from Michael Gross from Tremors?
Yeah, without the monsters, he basically is just a gun nut. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that wins. That absolutely wins.
Clint Eastwood, he was in what, five of them? He's six.
I'm thinking more like 10. I plus the TV show. So,
oh, he was in the TV show too.
Yeah, I'm going to give to Ken the Andy Everhart Award for I Can't Take My Eyes Off Your Cute Face.
Oh my!
Is it Chris Sarandon? See what I did there? Is it Julia Strain? Is it Denise Richards? Or is it Kerry Wuhar?
Oh man, out of those, I'm gonna have to go Chris Sarandon. Nice. Look at that man.
I mean, I don't know, man.
Humperdinck.
I'm gonna give to Tom a shameful Terminator police station ripoff sequence. Future War. Is it the Fifth Commandment? Is it the Lady Terminator? Is it Terminator Genesis? How original, you damn sequel. Is it Endangered Species? Or is it The Hit List, where Cuba Gooding Jr. goes after Cole Hauser in a police station?
You know, if you're gonna rip off the Terminator police scene, I have to go with Terminator Genesis.
Nice. I thought you were going to go with Future War. Perfect.
I mean, it just fits.
Oh, man. And it is also the winner of the El Stinko Award for the worst movie that stinks so bad I had to unclog my own toilet.
Oh. I tell you, I tried to rewatch Star Trek V the other day, and I couldn't even make it through it.
Oh, man, I love that movie. Man. It's so bad.
I couldn't, so man.
Bad.
I was
so bad, but it's so worth it just for that line he says at the end. So that's the winner of the stupid movie with one good line or three good ideas. You got the jet boots from Spock's. You got Shatner saying, what does God want with a starship? And then you got Bones telling tales at the campfire. That's it. Everything else is dog shit.
I'm watching it. Like, Shatner, have you ever seen a motion picture before?
No. And what a shame that Spock's brother was supposed to be played by Sean Connery, and that would have made it so much better, because half those extras look like they came off the set of Highlander. Oh, man. El Stinko to you, Star Trek V. Oh, it's bad, but it's hysterical. I'm going to give you, Jeremy, the Claudia Christian Award for Best Bimbo Role.
Claudia Christian.
Maniac Cop 2 Babylon 5 reference there.
Oh, I was like,
she was hot in that, man.
She's still hot. talking about?
For best what award? Bimbo award?
Yes. Yeah, best bimbo.
Besides Claudia Christian.
I was like, are we thinking the same Claudia Christian? I guess I don't think of Claudia Christian as bimbo.
Have you seen her other roles? Oh, Jesus. I can do Tracy Scoggins if that makes it easier, but Jesus, come on.
I'm going to go with... But what is her? What the hell is her?
Oh, yeah, that.
Karen Smith, Amanda Seyfried in Mean Girls.
Ooh.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
Yes.
Romy and Michelle.
That wins.
Oh, no, wait, hold on. Romy and
Michelle are great.
Don't override the vote, just let it stay.
Romy and Michelle are great, too.
Damn it.
Okay, Elle Woods, Legally Blonde.
That one is almost like...
honorable mention.
Yeah, it's like... she's like the... like, you know, like we have anti-heroes? She's like the anti-bimbo. We're like... she...
well, she is smart.
Yeah, she is like, smart. Oh, look, you think she's a bimbo.
Yeah, and then
she's
I was not trying to be degrading. I destroyed
all of your preconceived notions. Yeah.
Oh, shit. John Rhys Davies Award for Method Racist Acting.
Oh, nice.
Is it John Wayne? Is it Hulk Hogan? Is it Chelsea Handler? Is it Hartley Sawyer from The Flash? Or is it Mel Gibson? And the winner is Mel Gibson in Dragged Across Concrete.
Oh.
Second year in a row where he and Vince Vaughn come around. It's like if Tarantino tried to do his poor man's version of Training Day in Serpico. The movie doesn't seem to be in on the joke, and the company was later closed down because they were doing so much unethical stuff right here in Dallas, Texas. So, oh man, yeah. It's something.
I do have two more I want to give out.
Oh, nice. Shit!
If you would indulge me,
I'm getting off the stage. I'm getting off the stage. I'm going to let you talk.
Alrighty, I came up with two categories of my own that I thought were perfect opposites of each other. I have the best bad movie and the worst good movie.
Oh, nice. The single best? How do you find these? How do you narrow it down?
Well, I'm looking at it from what I've watched over the past year.
Oh,
and garbage in, awesome out. That's what I'm going to do.
I love trash. Okay.
So let me do the worst good movie I've seen in the last 12 months. Anti-Mame.
I have not heard of this.
No.
Oh, it's way over the top. It's so campy. Even Oscar Wilde is telling them to title it back.
Well, now I definitely need to see this if it's on TCM. It's a classic channel, right? Right?
Yeah. But I will not take any responsibility for any brain damage you occur from hitting your head against the wall at some of the insane things that go on.
That's what the fast forward button's for. Oh my god. I would probably be dead if I did not have that. Oh my god.
Yes. Now on the flip side, the best bad movie I've seen over the last 12 months,
ooh,
the original Rollerball.
Oh, that's a good one.
That isn't a... I mean, I saw the remake they did with LL Cool J.
I own it.
I watched it. It was...
I gotta listen to this commentary track and figure out what they were thinking.
But the original is just so much better. There's something about the late 60s, early 70s with the sci-fi,
yeah,
combined with the social commentary.
It and the Running Man are 100% in the same universe.
The crazy thing is, you know, I'm an NFL football fan. That movie predicted the NFL today. Just about everything it said about pro sports and where it was going has come true.
That, just like George Romero, you got to disguise it in sci-fi or horror, mate, if you want to actually make a cool point. Otherwise, people won't listen to you.
It's one of those that you can almost tell what the ending was going to be, but I was admittedly wrong, and I was glad I was wrong.
Nice.
Wrong, so, yeah, wrong, definitely. Wrong, wrong. Wrong, wrong,
wrong, wrong, wrong, wrong. You're wrong.
So let's give that the Dr. Cox You're Wrong award. Perfect.
I would gladly accept this award. I'd like to thank all the little people who made this possible. For Ray Bilache, Billy Barty.
Anything.
I'm pretty small, I guess. Yeah.
That's small.
A really small, wise guy. Eh?
What?
Hey, Ken. Give out any kind of award that you're just feeling. You just got to.
What do I want to give out an award for? Well, I guess I'd just like to, I know it's 2 years old at this point, but I'd just like to give out an award to, you brought him up, the late, great George Romero, because Shudder had his long-lost film, Amusement Park.
That was
so amazing. It wasn't a great, I didn't think it was a great movie, but it was, I just felt so awesome watching it.
I can totally relate to this. Just, I'm like, yep, yeah, this is totally something in the bumfuck nowhere, and this is something when they're uncomfortable even releasing it. They're like, eh.
You know, like I said, not great. I probably wouldn't watch it again, but god damn, I'm glad I saw it.
Oh no, I don't think anyone would watch it again, but yeah. It stays with me, even though it made me feel like shit. I was like, okay, interesting.
Really, isn't that what modern cinema is supposed to do?
Yeah.
we're gonna, yeah, there you go. It's, we're gonna school fuck you. We're gonna shell shock you and then make you unable to speak for 5 days. I'm going to go with the Battlefield Earth Award for the craziest alien movie race. And the winner, besides Battlefield Earth, would have to be that recent garbage movie with Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland.
Oh.
It had a name. I've just been having to repress the thought of that awful movie.
were they thinking, like, you can see it?
It's, right now you see me, but in the future. Shit, what is it called? It's Chaos Walking. Yes, that's the one. Don't see it.
I haven't heard that one.
So long story short, Doug Liebman got fired again. Studio overwrote it, and it got rewrites. Too many cooks in the kitchen.
That screws up a movie.
It's more common than you think.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Iris, you're going to award the James Wood Award for most shit psycho Twitter troll.
Okay, so a psycho Twitter troll?
Yes. What celebrities should we blacklist? Because they're just, they just need to just deactivate their account.
I'm going to go with Roseanne Barr.
Oh, yes. I was thinking Kevin Sorbo, but that works too.
Okay, well, you know him too.
Yeah, fine. Let's tie. Let's a tie.
You know, male and female. There you go. Male, you know.
Yeah.
Female.
Double standard.
And this male. There you go.
Garbage Sorbo, man. Roseanne Barr. Garbage gal. Oh, God. So, Jeremy, you were going to award the Charlie Sheen Award for most unconvincing winning on-screen movie rant. Who do you think this most looks like?
Unconvincing.
Yeah, they claim they're winning, and yet they're just so not, either due to unconvincing acting, writing, or direction.
Oh, like any of the speeches from House of Cards?
Oh, okay.
Just like, I mean, there's all sorts of speeches in that I think, especially if you go back and look at them, you're just like, like, it's just.
Wouldn't happen.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Like, it's almost like it's just like political intrigue with stuff where I'm like, I mean, we've lived through nonsense, and so it really makes how like calculating and cold it is look like even worse, because it's just like, it's nonsense that like everybody, like, you took over whatever, and everybody's just like, yeah, okay, you won. Ah, you bested us, kind of a thing. Like,
you thought you were the West Wing.
it just seems goofy that. Well, and how, like, even the West Wing, sometimes, like, when you go back and look at it, and they're like, American ideals, they'll always stand up. Like, we won't be bullied by whatever. And I'm like,
okay. Yeah, even Aaron Sorkin and some of these other writers I mentioned will say, yeah, I got too cute there, but at the time it felt good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give the Platoon Award for the coolest movie soldier squad. It's not going to Predator. Too many homophobes on that one. Probably of any movie squad. It's so hard because almost all of them have at least
one. Dude, come on. It's Rico's Rangers.
Fine. Screw it. We gotta kill more bugs, sir.
Rico's Rangers. Give it come to on. A
sad tire of all things. Freaking Johnny Rico. Okay. There you go. Oh, God.
Can I throw an honorable mention?
Yes. Please.
The Howling Commandos from the Captain America movies.
Okay, ooh. Perfect.
Okay.
Every
okay.
squad is better with Bucky on your team. So yeah.
What about dog soldiers? Those yeah. are pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
I mean, they're good, but they're pretty incompetent. So the Kevin Sorbo Award for most what the fuck lawman hero. Iris, who are you going to award this to besides Walker, Texas Ranger?
Jesus, I don't know. Okay, so
there's a lawman who just like you could probably give it to Steven Seagal, copy and paste the last 20 years. You're like, so you're not even an anti-hero. You're not even to call it a villain is just too tame. You're just a dick. It's not a lawman.
Oh my gosh. So let's see, worst cop ever in a movie. Oh, I gotta think about this one. Bum, bum, bum. How about let's see. Oh, okay, no. In the movie Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Oh God. Oh man. Ooh.
Sylvester Stallone and Estelle Getty.
Perfect.
That is.
That's going to make a ton of money. So, Jeremy, you get the Killjoy Award for most unappealing lead character.
For most unappealing lead character?
Yep, the Killjoy Award. Just like an actor or a character that just sucks the life out of the room. And kind of like that Mitchell episode of MST, where you're just like, the Mitchell? Hero of the movie, Mitchell. Everyone.
Gosh, that's really, that is a tough one. Especially because sometimes like it changes on you where like you're okay for a while, then you go back and see something and I'm like, oh my God, what? That's a tough one. You know, I this is a movie where or this is a person where I used to really really like his stuff, and then like as time went on I'm just like I can't watch anything that you're in anymore. Russell Crowe.
There you go.
I'm gonna
it's
even
not Russell, Kevin like, Spacey, it's freaking Russell Crowe.
Kevin Spacey's a whole other kind of like I see things with him, and I'm just like, ugh.
Okay. At least he played a bad guy half the time, so I was supposed to hate him, but oh, man.
Yeah.
You suck. Oh, God. So I will end this on the Why Haven't They Fired Their Agent Yet Award. Is it David Keith? Is it Matthew McConaughey? Or is it Idris Elba? And the winner is David Keith. What the hell happened, dude?
David Keith or Keith David?
David Keith. At least Keith David knew that he was in shitty movies.
Keith David's got a good agent. I was like, that guy's got work.
I know. I'm talking to David Keith. I'm
starting that one's to... fair. That one's fair.
Gosh, I haven't seen him in anything lately.
He was on season 3 of like Nikita, but that's like as recent as it comes. I'm your foster dad. Yeah.
Might be too soon, but Bruce Willis?
Well, see, he was doing those movies just because they were the same producers as Hostage and 16 Blocks. I didn't mind some of them. But...
No. Liam Neeson, man. He can't. It's like every movie he's finding somebody and he gives them a phone call and he's telling them, I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you. Every single movie.
Not every movie.
Dude, did you see him?
I'm not talking about the awful ice road. The one where he saves the kid over the border was pretty cool, but the one where he's in his son in Italy was kind of heartwarming.
What, Liam Neeson?
Yeah. He plays opposite his actual real life son. It was really.
Oh, really? I was going to say he was in one of the short stories in the Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
That's true too. And anything for Seth MacFarlane. So, yeah.
I mean, you've got Blacklight, The Marksman, Honest Thief.
Honest Thief was bad. The other two you might actually like. But Blacklight's by Martin Campbell, my man. Come on.
So, I mean, he's Charles Bronson. He's kind of typecast.
Yeah, but I'm going for like consistently bad. Like,
oh, consistently bad. Oh, God,
like,
no, not
good
him.
Actor who has no business being in these movies. Like, Idris Elba and McConaughey, aside from The Dark Tower, you got so many other movies where you're just like, yeah, and the investor money was just too good on that one.
So you're saying paycheck movies.
Yeah, whereas, like, no wonder it was straight to Netflix. Netflix is where direct-to-video goes.
No, there's some awful stuff that, like, you can't even find on Netflix, so...
Oh, yeah.
At least if it made it to Netflix, I'd be like, oh, it's on something that people have regular access to.
Yep.
And not like, hey, I made a movie that only the most obscure, like, you can only find it by, like, wishing on it through a portal that...
Right. Not even Tubi has it. That's how much it's been erased.
It's on Tubi determined.
Who's going to be the final recipient before we go of the parent Will Smith just don't understand for someone who should be bitch slapped on screen?
Oh, at least someone who should be bitch slapped on screen.
Okay. I'll let both you pick one. We'll merge.
Okay, Tom, you can go first because I got to think.
All right. This is specifically to an actor and a particular role. James Marsden as Cyclops in the first three X-Men movies. He so deserved to be pimp slapped.
Jean Grey does not want you, my dude. Sorry.
Nope. Just let it go.
But hey, he got to be the cowboy on Westworld and help out Sonic in the real world. So he did a good service. He did a good service.
Yes. All right. So who would I like to see bitch slapped? Who wouldn't I like to see bitch slapped? I like Tom Cruise. I'm actually, you know.
I like his movies.
That's a good distinct. That's a clear distinction right there.
I want his ability, but.
The thing is, in order for you to pimp slap him, you have to get down on your knees to do it. So.
You know what?
He's a little short.
He's got the Scientology.
I'll slap Will Smith because just to get him back for this.
And then everyone else stop blacklisting him. You get one in return. Boom.
It's because, you know.
I kind of think Chris Rock should have done it because if you want to earn your respect back, man, otherwise you're kind of the pussy comedian.
Well, I think Chris will tell you he's a pussy comedian. He doesn't want to be anything else, but. Who knows? The whole thing's ridiculous. You know, yep. I tell my son, you know, no matter how mad you get at someone, you can't hit them.
Right. There's it's that simple. Call of lawsuits. It's kind of happening.
Yes. It's that simple. You can't hit people, no matter what they say.
Unless you just want to send that racist uncle of yours to the hospital just once.
Well, yeah, I know. But
okay, boomer. Wham! Right in the kisser.
Wham! Yes, but if I could bitch slap anyone else, I'd have to say just stop with the remakes already. Stop.
Oh, well.
Stop.
In that case, let's go to the chairman at Sony Screen Gems. Or
any all studios. Any
the person stop. Who wants to remake The Crow, I mean.
What? Just stop. Just rip it off.
You maniacs, you blew it up.
You maniac, you blew it up. Damn you, what the hell?
There you go. The worst brown face in an otherwise good movie, Charlton Heston in Touch of Evil. Still got to get that Kino over Blu-ray.
And don't worry about the white face from the Omega Man. That was...
Oh, well, damn it. Now I got to give you just one final one.
Okay.
Bring it up some good ones. So... The Anthony Zerbe Award for he's narrating the movie, isn't he? Who's going to win besides Morgan Freeman?
I would have to say, I'm gonna have to go with the guy who did Monster a Go Go.
Ooh, very nice.
That was literally nothing but Mary.
I mean,
well, that's what happens.
Someone had to do it. Script.
Yes,
this was years before Eric Roberts. So
it was also years before me, Morgan Freeman.
Morgan
Freeman. I gotta tell you something. This alien, he came down to Earth. He tried to figure out what was going on. Unfortunately for him, he wound up in Strawhank Prison.
Oh, man.
I made this movie called Hard Rain, and it didn't come out for years.
Yeah, I pissed all over it at the premiere. It was a good movie, but it just wasn't meant to be me. Oh, man.
I'll go with Michael Imperioli based on the many saints of Newark.
Oh, God, yeah. It was like, it took me a minute. I'm like, oh, his voice sounds different. Oh, because that's Christopher.
And I'll go on, I'm the one person in the world who actually liked that movie.
Which feels shot. I love Ray Liotta. They should just do a movie, a show just around him, and then we'll be happy. Okay, screw it. Ken.
Yes.
So, one final award. You need the Richard E. Anderson Award.
Okay.
The Anderson Award for Best Mullet.
Oh, best mullet. Oh, my gosh. Hulk Hogan have a mullet and no holes barred?
I mean, it wasn't.
I always don't think so.
No. The great, did, I don't know why. I can't think of a specific film, but I want to say Dennis Quaid had to have had a mullet, right? In some movie.
Let's go with his weird hairdo and Enemy Mine. Perfect.
He did enough cocaine. So.
definitely that Jaws explain. Free. Yeah. So.
And that, if mullet, if cocaine caused mullets, that would explain Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yes.
Ooh, nice. I had a Cyrus on here, but that was for a totally different word.
Can you dig it? It's me, Cyrus.
Cyrus. Cyrus the virus. So final award, because my stupid ass has to have the final say, the Matt Battaglia Award for worst direct video star of the century, other than Matt Battaglia. You know him as the guy with the basketball in that one Friends episode and those awful Universal Soldier sequels. And the winner is Alex Nevsky. You've seen him. He's done a bunch of these awful movies like Black Rose and Showdown in Manila.
Oh jeez.
Yeah. Moscow Heat. He's a writer, director, producer, and lead star. And I'm wondering what he actually did in any of those categories. Because he seems like a nice guy, but every time I watch his movies, it just makes me wish I was watching one of Arnold Schwarzenegger's movies instead of his poorly done Expendables type movies. Oh God.
It would make me want to go see the movie where I'm fighting the devil.
Oh, yeah. You know you fucked up when you got John Wick's Freeze, Mark Dacascos, Don Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, and even the Wishmaster in all of these wacky movies, and you can't make anything.
And you can't make it interesting.
Yeah. Oh. Film school card revoked. All right. Thank you all for being on here and bullshitting with me for an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do it.
Anything you want to plug or promote?
Come see me in the movie, Hog Rain.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone wants to see my Instagram, it's Yoda3278.
Yes.
I post some fun stuff occasionally.
And porn.
No, that's private.
Oh, on his Facebook, which has the same name. Oh.
That's my OnlyFans, which people pay me not to get my nudes.
Hey,
take off your clothes, you will not.
Thank you ever so much. This was a lot of fun,
guys. Hey, yeah, no, this was fun.
Hey, thanks, gang.
Totally,
anytime. We'll totally try to do some more music bands and film and TV franchises.
Sweet.
All right. All right. Thank you very later. Much, you guys.
Yes, bye. Please be safe out there. Right. Still some crazy Kyles and Karens trying to unmask people.
Oh my God.
Oh dear. Yeah. All right, y'all have a good night.
Bye, gang.
Godspeed.
On the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up Review Show.